from the time that they pronounced me dead was a good 45 minutes.
They cut my clothes and then they paddled my heart because my heart had stopped. And I could see people screaming and crying, but I didn't realize that was actually my physical body because I was somewhere else.
The only thing that I could feel, if you can imagine, absolute love and peace. There wasn't anything else to be felt.
I was greeted by people I had known in the past.
I'm back home again.
Incredibly safe and felt at home.
Welcome to Round Trip Death, everybody. And hey, we have a special guest here today, Connie Fusella. How are you this morning, Connie?
I'm doing great, thanks.
You and I have not had much chance to chat. I usually know somebody's story from start to finish before we get to this point, but that's not the case today. So I'm going to be as surprised as everybody. So I'm really looking forward to hearing about your near-death experiences and what you've done with them. But first, tell us a little bit about you. Who's Connie?
Sure. So my name is Connie Fusella. I am an evidential certified psychic medium. I am certified with both the Forever Family Foundation, which has been featured on the Netflix series Surviving Death, and also the Helping Parents Heal organization. I have had three near-death experiences, each of them different. Each of them were very spiritually transformative, and each of them tried to awaken my natural born gifts of becoming a psychic medium to realize my soul's purpose of being that bridge between the spiritual and physical realms. I'm also an award-winning author. My book, Shameless Plug, You Are So Beautiful, A Unique Perspective into the Soul's Quest for Its Destiny, which kind of tells my story and talks about solitudes, and I'm a teacher and public speaker as well.
Man, that is a lot.
Tried to keep it short.
Well, and by the way, we'll put a link to your site in the show notes if anybody wants to look you up or check out your book. But what do you think? Should we take the NDEs in order from the first one to the last one? Do you have a preference?
Sounds like a plan, no.
Let's jump in. How old were you when the first one happened?
Sure. So the first one, I was in my early 20s. It was an allergic reaction to medication. Actually, all of them were allergic or adverse reactions to medication. And I ended up in a state of anaphylaxis and rushed to the hospital. And then the next thing I remember, you know, I was in this white space. There were no walls, ceilings, floors, windows, just a vast white space, very, very bright. I was sitting in the space with my legs crossed in front of me. And then all of a sudden, I sensed a presence, and this non-human being, very tall, walked towards me and placed this very big book on my lap. And as I looked down at this book, pages were glowing. So it was like white space, white everything glowing, you know, glowing coming out of the pages. The pages started to turn by themselves, and I could see from the time that I was born until present day. I saw images and people and felt the emotions that, I had experienced during those times. So, eventually I came out of it, and I was discharged the next day, and I went home, and I told my mom about this incredible dream that I had had, and I was describing for her, you know, the people that I saw, the images, like, you know, what kind of decorations were on the table or, you know, paintings on the wall, very specific details. And I was describing events that happened like under the age of 3 with very good detail. So my mom confirmed all these events had happened. And so my first near-death experience was what's termed a life review. Of course, this was the early, well, actually mid-80s at the time. So, you know, none of this was talked about back then. So I had no idea what happened to me. Again, I just thought it was a cool dream.
Well, I was just going to ask, would you call it a life review? So thank you for being ahead of me. I find it interesting some of the detail in how people leave their body and go to the other side. So let me ask you a little bit of detail here. With this anaphylaxis, I can't imagine, I would guess that it's a very panicky kind of feeling because you get to where you just can't breathe, right? Did you go from that to being unconscious and then feeling like you left your body? Or were you kind of saved from having to go through that deep panic?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So I was in that state of panic while I was at my workplace. And then, because I could feel my throat constricting and I was, trying to gasp for air. And then once the paramedics came, whatever they gave me, allowed my breathing to continue normally, but then I was unconscious. And then after that, I went into that state.
Okay. Tell me about the life review. Do you remember any of the details, how you felt, what things you saw?
Yeah. So I remember specifically like this long dining room table with this wooden centerpiece and like those fake fruits, like plastic fruits. But I remember that they were sparkly. There was like a sparkly coating on them. And my mother said that was like a great aunt of mine and, went to her house and, strange things like that. Very vivid details about, silly, nonsensical things, right? But like, pictures on the wall and just, also one of the memories that I saw was of my grandmother. And I was like, maybe 7, 8 months old and she was holding me up and there was a baby block on the Christmas tree. With the letters ABC, like an ornament, a baby block. And I was touching it. And my mother was like, yeah, that was the ornament she bought you when you were born. And she was holding you up to the tree. So, she was, confirming all of these things that happened. But I remember feeling, the love and, of the people that I interacted with. I, being young at the time, in my early 20s, I hadn't had a lot of experiences where I would have felt sadness or regret or mixed emotions. Still at this point in my life, I was pretty blessed, I would say, where, I had good experiences. So that's, pretty much what I felt.
Yeah. So not much regret or learn from something that you did to somebody or something like that.
Correct.
That's very pleasant. That's nice. Do you remember the actually coming back into your body or did you just wake up?
I just woke up.
Okay.
I just woke up.
All right. Then you told your mom all about it. She confirmed things. Okay. Was there anything else before we move on to number two?
Well, the thing that started happening is after this first NDE is I started having frequent occurrences of sleep paralysis. And if anybody doesn't know what that is, it's you're kind of trapped between the dream and waking state and you're frozen. You can't move. You can't scream. And it can be terrifying. It can be like a very, terrifying sensation. But for me, these all came with a similar format and that I would be laying in my bed on my back. And then all of a sudden, this would come over me and I would hear this like white humming vibration sound, like white noise kind of sensation fill, my head. And then I would see myself come out of my body in spirit form and try to lift myself up. And all the while, I kept hearing this voice repeating over and over again, you need to raise yourself up. You need to raise yourself up. You need to raise yourself up. It just kept repeating. And then, of course, I'd come out of it. And I think to myself, yeah, I need to raise myself up. I can't move. I need to get out of bed. And this is what I'm thinking. And I never understood it until many, many, many years later, probably over 20-something years later, when I became a medium. Because as a medium, you have to raise yourself up, your vibration, your energy to communicate to the other side. I probably should have prefaced with I am a natural born medium and I had awareness of spirit at the age of 4, but then I forgot who I was. So these near-death experiences were trying to wake me up. And what these sleep paralysis episodes, it was like the other side, my team of light were literally giving me the keys to the afterlife. Like, Connie, all you have to do is raise your vibration and be able to connect again, right? But I had no idea because I didn't come from a background of, psychics or mediums or anything metaphysical. So this did not resonate with me. So it fell on deaf ears. And so a couple of years later, near-death experience number 2 happens. This one was more medically intensive, another allergic reaction to medication or adverse, reaction actually. And what was happening is my heart was beating really fast, and I was sweaty, and I just felt awful. And I was working in New York City at the time. And when I got to my place, you know, in my office, my coworker said, "Oh my gosh, you look awful." I'm like, "Oh, I don't feel well at all." And she called the manager who made the decision to get me to a hospital. Luckily, he had on-call car service, because in Midtown Manhattan in the morning, it probably would have been very difficult for the ambulance to get to me. So there was car service right outside the building. They literally wheeled me in my office chair, pushed me down the elevator out to the sidewalk into the car, and there I went to the hospital. I remember being wheeled out of the hospital and emergency personnel coming, you know, with a stretcher and getting transferred to the stretcher. Into the hospital, and then, you know, of course, into the emergency room where, you know, I just hear all beeping and noises and people talking. And then the next thing I remember is I'm floating on the ceiling and I'm looking down at my body on the stretcher, watching the, you know, doctor and emergency personnel work on me. And as I'm watching, I see the doctor grab the defibrillators, put them on me, and I see my body like jumping, you know, off the stretcher. And then all of a sudden, I find myself in a tunnel. It was a very, very bright tunnel. I describe it as if anybody's had a closed MRI. That's about the size that I felt I was in, you know, this tunnel. I would describe the sensation of moving through it. I was on my back, feet first, as if anybody's ever been on a simulation ride like at Disney, you know, where you're kind of going fast but slow at the same time. So that's what it felt like. And it was just these bright lights all around me. And I remember thinking, like, I was excited. And then again, I heard that bright, you know, that sound, that humming vibration sound. And I could see the light really bright at the, you know, towards the end of the tunnel, and I'm going towards it and I'm excited. I feel like I'm going home. I'm really, you know, looking forward to this. As I get to the end, my feet touch the end of the tunnel where the light's the brightest, and they sink into this light. It was almost like as if your feet went into jello, is how I would describe it. And I call that the glow. So my feet went into that glow. And then all of a sudden, it was like, the only way I could describe it is something that you literally would see in a movie. Like, I was in this space and it was like zip, you know, something you'd see like in a space movie or something. I was like pulled right out, like back. And that's when I woke up. And of course, I'm in the hospital room and I have no idea what happened to me. And my wrists are all bandaged, and because they were testing for arterial blood gases. So I'm like, what the heck happened to me, right? And the doctors told me I had gone into ventricular cardiac arrest. I was very fortunate that they, you know, that I got to the hospital in time.
I think you ought to be glad that that time you were out of your body when they were hitting you with the defibrillator.
Yeah, it didn't look pleasant.
No. You know, not everybody has an experience going through a tunnel. And everybody that does describes it completely differently. What do you make of that? Why do you think it's different for everybody?
I think a lot of it has to do with people's perception. Honestly, I think people's acceptance of what's going on, and maybe even some religious beliefs that maybe factor into it. I haven't studied a lot of what other people experience. I know there's like a tunnel. I know some people describe it as vast. I felt it as a smaller space for me. But I really feel it has to do with how people maybe perceive, or I guess their sense of faith. I don't know. I always had a strong sense of faith. I was raised Catholic. I always believed there was an afterlife, a heaven or something. And I don't know if that made a difference. But, you know, I know for sure as I was going through this, I didn't sense any fear at all. In fact, I was looking forward to it. It's nothing but joy and love and light. And I was looking forward to getting wherever I was going.
So it's almost like you got there and came straight back before you had a chance to really experience it. Is that how you felt?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, did you feel a little bit robbed of the whole thing?
You know, again, now I still didn't realize that this was an NDE, right? I'm still thinking, oh, another cool dream under, you know, the effects of medication. But they made it up. they made up for it with my third near-death experience, because I did get to visit the other side. So they did give me a chance.
All right. We've been putting off saving the best for last. Go ahead and jump into number three.
Yeah. So what happened, you know, I should also say, right after the second one, something changed in me, and that as I was commuting, I had a 2-hour commute. It was pretty miserable from upstate New York to New York City at the time. So I had gone back to work after a few weeks of recuperating. But as I came close to people, whether it was sitting on the train or taking a bus or walking next to them, I started to hear names and I started to get little visions. So now, you know, I'm starting to remember that this happened, you know, when I was a child, right? So things are starting to come back to me. And I'm like, what is going on? So of course, I had to try to find a way to figure out what this was without coming across as a weirdo, right? So I would, you know, if I sat next to somebody and I'd hear Frank, like this name, I'd say to them, if it was a male, I'd say, oh, is your name Frank? You look very familiar, you know? And they would say, no. Then they would say, oh, but my dad's name was Frank and he's passed. So things like this were happening, where I'd see a vision and it would be like somehow whatever I saw, the name would either be like a restaurant or they go to or own or a street they lived on. There was some correlation to the person sitting next to me. So this was happening, okay, after the second near-death experience. It also led me one day to randomly walk in a different direction on my lunch hour to a psychic shop, where I started going for readings because I was drawn to it. And in 1991, I bought my first deck of tarot cards from this place. Yeah. So then what happened is I get the tarot cards. I, you know, read the meaning. Nothing resonates with me, which is strange. And I put them away and I don't touch them for over 10 years. Okay. So they're in the bottom of a box in my closet. During those 10 years, a lot was going on with me. I had to do a lot of soul evolution, and it's things that I write about in my book. There's different levels of soul progression that I had to move through to find myself again and my soul's true purpose. So this entailed getting rid of people, getting rid of negative things, negative people, negative places. So 10 years of this is what I was doing. During those 10 years, I wasn't hearing or seeing anything because I was closed off from it because of this negativity that was around me, okay? So after I made changes, my third near-death experience happens. And this is in the form of, well, it was a reaction after surgery and medication. Again, another adverse reaction to medication and the anesthesia and all of that. And then all of a sudden, as I'm laying there recuperating in bed, I find myself in the space of rolling, beautiful clouds. And as the clouds, you know, kind of part, then I'm in this beautiful meadow, golden sun and beautiful flowers and green grass. It's just lush. It's beautiful, vibrant. And then these little children run towards me like kindergarten age, and they grab my hands on either side and we start singing and dancing in a circle, kind of like a ring around the rosy type of situation. And we're singing this song that I know, but it's not in any earthbound language, okay? But I know it. And I'm singing and I'm so happy and I'm joyful. And so this goes on for a bit. And then the children stop suddenly and they kind of part and on either side of me and they look, you know, in front of them. And I see a man walking towards us. And to me, this man, in all respects from my Catholic upbringing, every picture that I've seen looks exactly as I would picture Jesus. And I know him on a soul level as Jesus. Okay. And so he comes up to me. He says, do you like it here? And I say, of course, I love it here. But then at this point in my life, I'm now a single mom with 2 young boys under the age of 6. And so I look around and I say, but where are my children? Jesus says, well, it's not their time yet. And I'm like, okay. And so the little children that are around me grab my hands and then we do some more singing and dancing, right? And then they stop again. And Jesus looks at me again. And the one thing that stands out about this NDE that was so impactful for me is the way that Jesus looked at me, because his eyes changed colors like the ocean. So they were like green and gold and blue and brown, and they were like moving. And when he looked at me, it wasn't like he was looking at me or through me. It was like I knew he knew me, all of me, this life, past lives, future lives. Like he knew all of me, and I was loved and I was accepted. And it was such an incredible feeling to feel that, like just kind of emanate and fill me. But he asked me again, do you like it here? And I, of course, again said, yeah, I love it here. But where are my children? And he said, it's not their time and it's not your time either. You have yet to become who you were meant to be. And with that, I wake up thinking, yeah, another cool dream. And who am I supposed to be? What does that mean?
Wow. Can you describe the children any more than that?
They were very, I guess the word I would use is like sort of rosy cherub looking. They were like, you know, beautiful pink soft skin, rosy cheeks, their eyes, you know, bright and glowing. And most of them for some reason had like curly hair. That's what I remember. They had like some wave or curl to the hair, full hair, right? They were just grinning, happy. I wouldn't say, I don't want to say chubby, but they were, you know, meaty, I guess is a good word, right? They weren't little thin, scrawny kids. They were, you know, they were just were like, you just want to like squeeze them. Yeah, really adorable, cute kids.
Well, and you mentioned that you recognized Jesus immediately because he looked like the pictures you had grown up with in church?
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yep.
And you described his eyes, which was really interesting. But how did you feel around him?
I just was filled with love and joy. Like you can't really put words to the feeling because it's complete, it's whole, it's safe, it's light, I guess. It just was an incredible feeling. I've never felt anything like that since. I mean, really you can't put words to that feeling. It just filled your whole being with just like lightness, like as if you could just float. You felt so light.
What else did you experience there that you haven't told me yet?
I also felt when I was there, it was interesting because, you know, he kept asking, do you like it here? And I kept answering yes. And I knew somehow that I was going to come here again. And I knew somehow that after this experience, when he said, you have yet to become who you were meant to be, I knew that I was going to find out what that meant. And I knew that I had like a long journey ahead of me to make it happen. But it was interesting because I remember that feeling. But then I remember when I woke up, I was like, well, I really didn't know on a human level when I woke up, like who I was supposed to be. But I remember feeling on a soul level, I'm going to remember. You know, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. So what did you have to do to remember and to figure out what you were supposed to be?
So a few weeks after this, you know, NDE, I got a random call from a lady that was coordinating a psychic fair in South Florida. And she was short some readers and she wanted to know if I would be a tarot card reader at this fair. Now, I don't know how she got my name, my number. I have never done readings. Okay. But I said, hold on a second. And I ran to my bedroom. Now, this is over 10 years later since I bought that deck of tarot cards in 1991 from that psychic shop in New York City. But I still had that box in my closet after moving several times. And I went through that box. And of course, there's the tarot cards there at the bottom. And I ran back to the phone and I said, yes, I'll do it. So this was a Thursday afternoon and the fair was Saturday afternoon. Saturday morning rolls around and it was like reality just sunk in and hit me like wham, right? And I said to myself, oh my God, what are you thinking? What are you doing? Like, how are you going to go do these readings? You've never done a reading. I have no idea what the cards mean. I don't know what I'm going to do. Anybody that knows me, I never stand anybody up. Okay, if I commit to something, I'm going to come to that unless there's something, you know, really life-threatening that's keeping me from doing it. So my plan was, is I would show up and tell this lady, I can't do readings, but I'll help you. I'll greet customers. I'll, you know, serve coffee. I'll do something. So this was my plan. So I show up there. She's very frazzled. She like drags me down this long corridor. This is your place. This is your table, two chairs, blah, 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 blah. And I said, oh, hold on. Sorry. I have to tell you something. I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm very sorry. And she cut me right off. She said, no, I'm sure I need you to do readings. You said you would. And she was like really agitated. And I was kind of a little afraid. So I said, okay. So I sat there praying that nobody would show up. And then about 15 minutes or so later, a lady showed up in her mid-50s. And she wanted a reading. So I said, okay, I don't know what I'm doing. I grabbed those cards. And so they pulled out one time, right? And so it's painful because she sees me struggling to get the cards. It's a new card deck, right? And so she's already kind of like, I don't know about this one. So I start putting the cards down nervously in this big circle. And I don't know what I'm doing. I see the space in the middle. I put some more in the middle. And I keep going. And I use all 76 cards without saying a word. So she says, are you ever going to say anything? So I was so nervous. I was nauseous. I was sweating. So I just looked down at this mess that I made on the table. And then all of a sudden, the strangest thing happened. It was like a pulse of electricity came into the top of my head and just like reverberated through my body. And when I looked down at the cards, there was all these like pictures. That's all I saw. I just started talking. And I said to her, there's something about like a secret, a family secret that was kept hidden for many years that just, you know, came out in the open. It has to do with somebody passing. And then I see something about legal papers, communication from a lawyer. And then there's a trip to a foreign country in 2 weeks, 2 months. And then there's all this money that comes to you, this big windfall of money. Do you understand any of this? So the lady says, I just found out a few weeks ago that I was adopted because my biological father, who lives in Europe, passed away, and his attorney contacted me because I'm the sole beneficiary to his estate, and I'm leaving in 2 weeks to collect my vast inheritance. So somehow I knew things without knowing how I knew them just by looking at those cards. I don't know. Didn't know the meanings of the cards, anything. And that's how it started.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. So a lot of people come back after their NDEs with some kind of what I like to call spiritual gifts. And you've heard about these, and they're like what you experienced. There's all kinds of other things. Even some, like I've met with some people that could read the thoughts of animals. You know, there's all kinds of different gifts. I guess the question that I'm getting at is, for someone who's had an NDE and feels like there is something, there's some kind of a gift I have that I am different with now, but they can't figure it out. They can't really find it. What advice do you have for them?
Yeah, that's a good question. You need to quiet your mind, number one, right? Because what happens is, and this what happened to me, I saw spirit and I heard spirit at the age of 4, but of course I didn't understand it. Then, you know, go through life, your analytical mind takes over, things happen, you know, you go through jobs, children, helping with parents, all this kind of stuff, right? And we get distracted. So I feel that, you know, you have to do what I call spiritual hygiene, all right? And take time for yourself. Take time to quiet your mind, whether it's just, you know, sitting quietly, meditating, reading a book, walking in nature, yoga, painting, something, listening to music. But take time to get in touch with your own true self, with your soul. Okay. And then just sit there in the quiet, because it's in the quiet that you're going to get the answers. And even if you can't meditate, it's very strange. I admit it. I can't meditate. I'm a medium and I can't meditate. My mind goes 100 miles an hour. So I listen to upbeat music. Upbeat music does it for me because I just lose myself. I have to just get out of my, you know, oh, my groceries, my dog, right? I have to get out of that. So you have to find something that just takes you out of everyday life and lets you relax, and then put your intentions out there. What am I supposed to do? What do you want me to do? You know, what direction do I need to go in? And just wait and listen for the answers.
I don't know if it's that easy for everybody to just listen for the answers, but it sounds like at some point you're going to feel directed and you need to take that flying leap. You went ahead and dealt those cards, right? Even though you had no idea what was going to happen next.
Right. And I was pushed. I was, you know, it all lined up, even though I was like, I tried to get out of it, right? And it just lined up, and it will line up for you.
Yeah.
You know, you're in the right place, the right time. And of course, everybody has work to do. And that's what I write about in my book. I talk about these soul levels that people get trapped in, and they're called solitudes. There's five of them. And so I use my life as an example, how I came into this world in the clear solitude, meaning I was communicating with spirit at the age of 4. That's what I was always meant to do. But then I forgot who I was. And I had to go through all these different levels, the confused, the compromised, the closed. There's 5 different categories till I got back to clear again, which is the goal as we take our human bodies, right? Our soul knows what our true purpose is. But then as a human, we get led astray. So there's all these things that happen in people's lives. And I always say, you know, you've heard this saying, lessons are often blessings. We don't see it at the moment, but it just may be the universe, your team on the other side, giving you a nudge to go in a different direction. So pay attention. Sometimes it's so easy. It simply is what brings you joy? Because on some level, your soul knows what brings you joy. People like always ask me, like, can you tell me what my soul's purpose is? Well, nobody can tell you. You have to find that out yourself, right? But don't overcomplicate it. Don't think that you had to come in to be like a neurosurgeon or something. Maybe your soul's purpose in this lifetime was to be a mother. Maybe your soul's purpose was to rescue a dog. It can be so simple like that, because maybe in past lives you never had pets. Maybe in past lives you didn't have children. So it could be so simple, but people do tend to overcomplicate it.
I think for all of us, part of our purpose is to find joy, period. That's what eternity is all about. We should be able to find a measure of that here as well. Speaking of eternity, from all of these experiences put together and the time that you've had to digest them, what have you learned or think you know now about the afterlife, about more than just what happens here on Earth?
One, it's interesting because I felt a little bit as a fraud, I guess I'll put it, as a medium, because I was very qualified medium doing very highly evidential readings, but I hadn't lost anybody yet that was close to me. So I didn't experience that grief, right? And that, you know, like, oh my gosh, what happens? And then I lost my dad. And so even at that point, my readings just went, like, the quality just went way up, because that missing piece had to come into me for me to kind of feel all sides of it, right? But what I know from my near-death experiences and being able to communicate with the other side is that love never dies, number one. It's eternal. People, I would say, you know, when I lost my dad, not that it was easy, but I knew where he was going, what he was going to feel. And that made it so much easier for me to deal with. Because I think about if people don't believe in an afterlife, right? Or, you know, if I go back to my Catholic upbringing, right? And I say, okay, all right, my dad's passed. Okay, he's up there with the angels having a good time. That's all great for him. But what does that do for me? All I have is pictures here and memories. I don't have any way to communicate with him or feel his presence, right? If I'm going by the way that I was raised. But now knowing, you know, that there is an afterlife, they send us signs, they communicate, life goes on, that this here on Earth is just a school, it's just a learning program for us, that life goes on. So, and having beautiful experiences, even though medically they were issues, but I never felt anything but light and love and peace and joy. I would tell anyone, keep the faith. You know, you're just here temporary, and this is nothing compared to, you know, the many lives you're going to have after this.
That's such a beautiful wrap-up. I don't even know where to go from here, but to say thank you, Connie.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Before we do wrap up, is there anything else that you think would be important to talk about to our audience?
Try not to look too hard for solutions and let them come organically or naturally, and just pay attention. Pay attention to the people that come into your life, the circumstances that happen. Again, you may have had some hard times, but where did you end up? Try to piece that together. And I think that if you do that, you'll look back and you'll have a better understanding and maybe a better appreciation of things that happened in your life and realize, okay, that's why that happened, because now I'm this person now. This changed me. This influenced me, or this person influenced me. So really just take the time. They could be maybe insignificant events that you thought at the time, but they probably were very impactful if you reflect on them.
I like it. Thank you. All right. If anybody wants to get a hold of Connie, it's meaningfulmessages.info. And there will be a link down in the show notes to make it easy for you. But thanks again, Connie. Appreciate your time today.
You're welcome, Eric. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks again for listening and sharing this podcast. Don't forget to hit the follow or subscribe button and sign up for our newsletter at roundtripdeath.com. If you want to share your near-death experience, or if you have questions or comments about the show, send an email to eric@roundtripdeath.com. Until then, I wish you everything good that you're looking for in this life and the next.